Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday. Sorry, I amused myself, and that's really all that counts anymore. It is Saturday, the 24th day of August, Anno Domini 2019, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright. Are you okay?
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, not the blues, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes, I think the coffee I had this morning was all regular.
Oh boy.
That is certainly a possibility.
Okay, well, that explains it. Right.
We normally have a mix of regular and decaf at home. I may have opened the wrong one.
Forgot to put in the little decaf?
Yeah.
Something isn't quite right here.
I was going to say, you look like the Jolly Green Giant there. There, that looks normal.
So we're going to be bringing news, views, blah, 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 you know all that. Before we get started, special thanks to Lorraine and Ken, who sent us a lovely, really lovely and fun plaque for our 30th anniversary. And on the rest of the world, you can all see it. When you come to our 30th anniversary party, which is next Saturday, from noon to two, we'll be broadcasting live here at the world in the galactic headquarters of Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites.
Jazz Central.
Jazz Central. Space.
What?
Known space.
No, right. Known space. And for all we know, unknown space.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we'll be doing that from noon to two next week. Everybody's invited, but we do want you to write and let us know that you're coming. Just send an email to rsvp@jazz901.org and let us know that you're coming and how many will be there so that we know how much cake and stuff, because there will be refreshments and cake, so we just know how much of that stuff to order. And, of course, you still have time, if you hurry, to get your 30th anniversary limited edition Soundbites T-shirt. Next Saturday, that's coming down after the show when I get home. That shirt is gone forever. So you can see it at wegottheshirts.com/Nick. wegottheshirts.com/Nick.
Do you have a link off of our webpage?
We do.
Good.
And it's the 30th anniversary limited edition shirt. It will be gone in a week. So, and it takes a few days. It's fulfilled by Amazon. But even if I have an update to this laptop, to this Chromebook. Holy crow!
All right,
break. I thought I was done. This must be the last one. But I thought I was done.
Who knows? Maybe they're going to get generous.
Who knows? That's unlikely. At any rate, the point here is. This particular t-shirt takes a couple of days to get to you because although it is fulfilled by Amazon and if you're a Prime customer, shipping is free, yada, 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 but it's print on demand. So it does take a couple of days.
Yeah, they're just not laying around.
Right, right. But if you order, within the next couple of days, you should have it by next week. And as we've said, if anybody, wears the shirt here, we will sign it. So that'll make it, you know.
Whether you want it to or not.
Whether you want us to or not, we'll chase you and sign that dang thing. But the idea is, of course, that it becomes infinitely more valuable that way.
I should have worn my 25th shirt this week.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. It becomes infinitely more valuable because zero times infinity is still zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great shirt. It's Dave's logo. He did an amazing job creating the logo. Steve is the one who made it big enough to put on the shirt. I added the 30 years.
It's a group effort.
It's a group effort.
I still remember doing that back in the day on Corel.
Yeah.
That's what it was created in, Corel Draw.
which is why Steve had to convert it to something else.
Yeah.
I like CorelDRAW. That was a fun program.
We had the back in the day, the representative from Corel come a few times to the user group talking about the product, and it was really cool. I mean, I was really into that
product
for a while, and the patterns and everything else that I was creating and all this other stuff and learning how to do. I was quite surprised.
It's still around.
To do all the things you can do. It's still around. It was a heck of a program. Anyway, the point is, next Saturday is our 30th anniversary party. And if you come down, you'll see all of us live. You get to sit in on a live show. You get to see the amazing plaque from Lorraine and Ken. And we'll all have a bunch of fun together. It's easy enough to do. Just RSVP at RSVP at jazz901.org and let us know how many people are coming so we know how much cake and refreshments to order. And we'll see you next week. I'm looking forward to it. 30 years on the air. And let us make no mistake. That's due to you folks. You're the ones who got us here. Mm-hmm. If you didn't call for 30 years, we wouldn't be on for 30 years.
Yeah. So
thanks to each and every one of you. Come down and get your well-deserved cake. And we'll see you next week. In the meantime, of course, you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And here is some news. Apple is in a continuing fight to keep the iOS platform secure, and it has made a mistake that has blown open the entire platform. Apparently, Apple has been a bit sloppy, and an old vulnerability that was patched over long ago has been broken in the move to iOS 12.4. So it is possible for an iPhone running the very latest version of iOS to run unsigned code. That could be an intentional choice by users wanting to access alternate app stores or access functions not normally exposed, like jailbreaking your phone, but it is more likely to be used maliciously, for example, using a bug in another application that allows code to be run remotely on any up-to-date iPhone. It cannot be stressed enough that this is a huge mistake by Apple. That said, there are some limitations to note. First of all, the vulnerability does not affect hardware running on the A12 system chip, the A12 chip. The iPhone X will be impacted, but not the XR, XS, or XS Max. Unfortunately, Apple has never released sales figures for the newer handsets, so how many users are protected by Hardware Evolution is not known. You also need to have iOS 12.4 installed. This is one moment in time where Apple's ability to shift its user base to the latest version of the mobile operating system is not helpful, although it will be helpful when the next patch, presumably named iOS 12.4.1, is rolled out. Unfortunately, since Apple has pulled iOS 12.2 and 12.3 from its servers and revoked their signatures, there's no choice but to update to 12.4. That means that you could download an app from the App Store which makes use of this exploit to escape the iOS sandbox that an application is given by the operating system. Due to 12.4 being the latest version of iOS currently available, the only one which Apple allows upgrading to, for the next couple of days until 12.4.1 comes out, all devices using this version or any 11X or 12X below 12.3 are jailbreakable, which means they are also vulnerable. This is, by the way, a 100-plus day exploit, which means that this vulnerability can exploit it with code that was found more than 100 days ago. Given Apple was made aware of this bug over 100 days ago by Google's Project Zero team, there's probably a good chance that elements not friendly to Apple will be aware of the issue and potentially use it quietly in the background. In the meantime, if you are on iOS 12.3, do not upgrade to 12.4 to stay protected over the next few days until 12.4.1 is out. Presumably, the development team are working quickly to roll out iOS 12.4.1, which will, we assume, reapply the patch. So which version of iOS are you running? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, one of the things that currently, at least, makes it not super critical and sky is falling is that it has to start with your phone. You give your phone to someone that's unlocked, and you download malicious programs. Fortunately, Apple tries to keep a handle on malicious programs in the App Store, and sideloading an app not through the App Store is tricky, and that's one of the reasons in one of the articles I read that Apple hadn't fixed this bug yet, is that the chances of someone running a malicious program are so low that it hasn't been worth the programming effort to get the update patched. And so it probably will affect too many other services. So that's one of the big things about patching. In fact, I remember there was an old bug. The ImageWriter LQ, which was Apple's impact printer, 27-pin impact printer. If you printed a purple ampersand on a black background, your program would crash.
Yeah.
And they, the tech note said they weren't going to bother fixing that bug.
Yeah.
Because the chances of you doing that are so low, it's not worth our programming time to fix it. But now that this bug has reached more of a public awareness, it likely will be fixed, that, as you said, with the 12.4.1. And iOS 13 is due out next month. I haven't seen if it's already patched in 13, but I kind of expect that it probably
is. It will be. It was the same thing with the thing where if you sent somebody certain characters in iMessage, it crashed your phone. Apple fixed that fast.
Yeah. And that's sort of how all this starts. If you can find a way to crash an app, that's the first step toward writing an exploit, because you're making it do something that it doesn't know how to handle. And this is coming on the heels of Apple announcing a new plan. Actually, at Black Hat, they had one of their chief security officers, where security researchers will be able to get, in essence, a jailbroken phone directly from Apple to test with.
Nice.
So that you can, legitimate researchers can see how to find it. And they raised their bug bounty program up to a potential $1.5 million if you find a bug in unreleased software.
Right.
So, the iOS 13 beta that's running now, certain types of bugs are worth $1 million. And if it's in unreleased software, there's a 50% bonus.
I think we need to emphasize that this news item doesn't mean that Apple is lax in security. In fact, Apple is amazingly tight in security. But when they do make an error, they tend to fix it fast. So we're waiting to see if this... When we say it's a 100-plus day bug, it's 100 days ago, over 100 days ago, they fixed it. They just broke it again in 12.4, and apparently nobody tested for it. We're not testing for a bug that's 100 days old.
And it's already fixed.
And
that's part of the problem in coding, is you don't realize that your change here is going to mess up something that was fixed, 3 months ago.
Right. There's no human brain on earth that's smart enough to actually truly understand anything more complex than a lever. So when you've got, a million plus lines of code, there may be interactions you didn't notice. So, but Apple is generally very, very good about fixing things quickly that actually are real problems. Like you said, that purple ampersand and a black background. If you want to crash your printer, knock yourself out.
Go ahead, yep.
It's your printer. Do what you want with it.
And Google's also pretty good at fixing problems. In fact, it was the Google zero-day team that found these problems for Apple.
Right.
The problem with the Android market is that Google releases a patch, and you may not get it.
Depends on the phone you
have. Unless you're running a pure Google phone, it has to go through the handset maker, then it has to go to the carrier before you get it. And in many cases, on the lower end, no-name phones, you'll never get those security patches because the companies don't bother upgrading anything.
They don't bother upgrading anything. But now, for example, Dave and I both have Pixel phones. So our phones will get things immediately. Apple fixes something. Google fixes something because they're like Apple. Apple owns the operating system and the phone. So they do what they want, regardless of what carrier you're on. Yep. Google is the same with the Pixel phones. So you get a pure Google Pixel Android experience, and you don't wait. Like we always say, the the big dog has to be the last one to mark the tree. And so the company that makes the phone has to fool around with the operating system, and then the carrier has to fool around with the operating system, and all of them want to make money.
Add all their features.
Right, they're adding their features and bloatware because somebody pays them to put it on the phone, et cetera, et cetera. None of that happens with
the Pixel phone.
A pure Google Android experience with the Pixel phone. So, it's the Pixel phone is very much an Apple-like experience in that particular instance. So,
yeah, I don't think if I'd go to any other phone. I mean, the camera right now on this Pixel 3a XL is fantastic.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's better than the 35 millimeter camera that I had from Kodak years ago. As far as pixel quality and, you know, clarity and everything else, it's phenomenal. And it's right there, you know, you carry it around, not something bulky that you have to, carry around on a strap or anything else.
People are, there's a, on MeWe, there's a Pixel group, and mostly what they post are utterly amazing pictures. I mean, amazing pictures that were taken just with the stock Pixel phone on the 3 or the 3A or the 2 or even the 1.
Yeah.
I took a picture of my cat this morning, sun coming in the window behind them. All I did was snap the shot. They're perfectly well lit. The background is not overexposed. It's kind of amazing what they managed to do with those phones. And it's... it's some pretty cool stuff. So, don't immediately assume that Apple has utterly fallen down on the job and it just doesn't care about security or what happens to your phone or whatever. They're still the Apple you know and love. They made a mistake and now they're going to fix it. That's the way life goes someday.
Yeah, everything can't be perfect.
Exactly right.
And anyone that claims it is. Stupid.
yeah.
Just slightly.
Yeah. We don't get to be stupid in this life. So we don't get to be perfect, right?
Yeah, but at least they own right up to it, you know. And all right.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when something like that happens, and they own right up to it, even if what they say is, just don't do this. We're not going to bother fixing it, like with that printer thing, because it's not really dangerous, right? This is dangerous. People can take over your phone and do stuff. The message, the iMessage issue was dangerous. They fixed that immediately. If you just simply don't print that character, you don't crash your phone, your printer. And even if you do crash your printer, then you just restart it again. It's not the end of the civilization as we know it. So that's not a thing that they needed to fix. But in general, Apple is on top of these things. They're fixing them, so don't get excited.
There's a big problem going on in Canada. Telos, one of the major ISPs, had an email outage a week and a half, something like that. And their chief customer officer, I think it was a weird title.
Well, they're Canadian.
Yeah. They issued a video apology, and the picture is interesting. He looks kind of hangered. You know, he hasn't shaved in a few days. His shirt's kind of wrinkled. He's really deep there in the trenches trying to figure out why the email isn't working, or it was all staged. But
it was all staged. Or he's just, Canadian.
Right. Yeah, that's half the joke. He's Canadian, so of course they apologized, and it's unacceptable, and we're working as fast as we can to fix it. You know, if it was some American company, they probably wouldn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah, right. Gmail had an outage earlier this week as well.
Everybody goes out every now and then, but it's usually minutes or hours.
Right. Well, look, back when I was employed for a living, as opposed to blissfully retired, back when I was employed, I was a systems administrator. And I'll tell you what. I had lots and lots of programs doing lots and lots of scanning of my network to monitor everything. But invariably, I heard about email outages first from my users. I would get a phone call and the light would come up on the email monitor. And I would pick up the phone and say, email's out. And I didn't even have to talk to them. Yeah, it is. What do? You wait about 5 minutes. We'll fix it. Yeah. We'll get it up again. Give me 10 minutes.
I would be fixing it, but I had to answer the phone.
Exactly.
I read a story about that once where there was like a scheduled email outage at a company, and they emailed it to everyone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, come the day, you know, why isn't the email working? Because it's out. We emailed you that. How am I supposed to get the email that the email is out?
Right.
Oh.
But it doesn't matter, you know. We used to do that way ahead of time.
Yeah.
And we would say things like, the email system will be down from 2 to 3 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
Yep.
I would get calls at 2:01 a.m. from people. The email's out. A, we told you a week ago. We sent you an email a week ago.
And 5 days ago. And 4 days ago.
Exactly right. Plus, it's on the website. So I eventually started a text messaging list. And people would not want to be on it because they thought I was going to spam them with everything. I say, this email list is specifically to say the email server is down on purpose. That's the only time I will send you an email. I eventually had quite a number of people sign up for it.
Cool.
It was people get crazy when they can't do email or text messaging. But I never had to worry about those because we don't do text messaging. It's not our bailiwick. But people get crazy when the email is down. I get it. A lot of people live in you, particularly academics. They do a lot of collaborating over email because they're sending gigantic files. And before the days of Google Docs, where you could simply share a document with another person and both work on it simultaneously if you wanted to, you could only really collaborate by emailing something to someone. And so I get it. When email is down, you're no longer collaborating.
Right.
And when you've got a deadline coming up, that's
kind of
a problem.
It's kind of important.
But maybe, and particularly when, you know, at the first of the month or at the beginning of the week before, I would send out the email, I would send out an email that said, this is when we're taking the server down. If that's a problem for you, let us know. We can reschedule. Nobody ever said it was a problem until 2 in the morning when it's a problem.
Well, I didn't know you were going to take email down.
Right. Right.
I said we were taking email down.
And in fact, I have a read receipt from you. You read that email.
No,
they opened
it. Just quick looked at it.
Yeah, they opened it. They didn't read it.
Right.
Yeah. I read a story that started with a crazy post in New York Post about iPhone and Android users can't date because Android text messaging doesn't support read receipts or typing receipts. So iPhone to iPhone, you can see when someone is typing. You get three little dots. And you can see when they read your message. Apparently, there are people that stare at their phone all day long, waiting for that response to come in. And if they don't, if the person doesn't respond doesn't at least start typing instantly, the world has ended.
You know what? I don't want to date those people.
Yeah,
I would not. That's a level of crazy I do not need in my life.
That's called get a life.
Yeah.
Yep. And on the iPhone, Android people show up in green. So Nick, you're my only green guy. Everyone else is blue.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
You don't know enough good people is what you're saying. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, 29 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1. I'm going to reboot my machine.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
I think you messed this up.
Probably. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have...
I love rock and roll.
Yeah, but if we listen to the rest
of this... Otto Bruno.
There it is.
All right, never mind. We're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Hey, guys. I was just calling to... I was going through your the security tango and... always look at it once in a while to see if there's any changes. And then I did a little research on my own, and I know you're familiar with Komodo.
Sure.
Yep. I'll tell you, my recent antivirus was coming due, and I went to renew it, and they wanted so much money for it that I was like, okay, let me see if I can find an alternative that may be cheaper that I can, you know, start free and see. And I did the Komodo antivirus and the firewall, and this program is unbelievable for free.
Yeah. It's a very good program. It has an antivirus and a firewall, and I think if you pay for it, you also get the sandbox and the host intrusion prevention, and that's $5 a year. I don't know how you beat that.
Yeah, really.
And in this program, it has HIP scanning,
right?
Which is great. It suggests that you use their not the Komodo Ice Dragon browser, but the Dragon browser, which is basically Chromium.
Yeah. There's a bunch of Chromium based browsers, including the next version of Edge, which amuses me, but that are based on the same Chromium browser that Google bases Chrome on, but doesn't have any of the Google add-ons, which are both good and bad, depending on how you feel about Google.
Well, it you can use App Store, their app store add-ons if you want. They do work.
Right.
If you want to do that, but it doesn't have all the tracking that Google has in Chrome.
Right.
They shedded that away, and it's a beautiful browser, and it's familiar if you use Chrome. I'll tell you, it's really secure.
Yeah. And if you get the full internet suite, you get the antivirus and the firewall and the Trust Connect and the Rescue Disk and the Cloud Antivirus. I mean, you get everything.
They also ask you if you want to use their DNS.
Right.
And if you do it through the firewall or through the antivirus, it uses their DNS exclusively. But if you just download the browser, say, it will only work in that particular browser. So it's a good way to try it because it only uses that DNS server in that browser.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I've yet to find any free antivirus programs and that have an included or can include a firewall for free.
Yep. And it's available for Windows and Mac and Linux. And it's actually a pretty neat little program. I should probably add it to the Tango. I can't keep up. You know what I mean? There's so many of them out there, but it is an excellent one.
And the other one, you said that eventually you got to make a little note in your brain, in that very clouded brain that has all these ideas, they have their add-ons for both browsers, you know, Chrome and Firefox, that you can add their filtering so that it blocks malicious pages. And I find that if I use that and I use it along with Malwarebytes filter,
right,
they catch a lot. You click on something and it goes, this site's no good.
Right.
And those it doesn't even open it, you know. A lot of them have Trojans and
right.
Wonderful, wonderful little add-ons for your browser that can really save your life.
Yeah, no question.
So if you keep that in your mind, eventually maybe you can add those few things as a extra layer of security.
In his spare time.
Yeah, in his spare time.
He's retired.
I do have a list of to-dos, and I don't get to them in as timely a manner as I should, I suppose.
You know, you have 5 minutes here or there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, just like I said, suggestion. Wonderful, wonderful program for free. And even paying for it, it's not astronomically expensive.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was going to have to update my other software. They wanted $70 for the next year, where I could do this one for free, try it out, and if I want it, I can buy it and be nowhere near that.
A lot of companies have started moving towards subscriptions, either monthly or annual. It's good for the company. It gives them a guaranteed income. And for some people, they like it because then it's automatic, it's updated, you don't have to worry about it. But for a lot of people, they get these free trials or, you know, a 90-day trial, And then they forget, and so then their protection stops. Or they sign up for the subscription and forget they're paying for a subscription and move on to some other program until the bill comes. There was a new guy that must be like for at least 10 years he's been paying the $30 a year for a Skype telephone number. And every time it hits, once a year, he said, oh, I got to stop this.
Right.
And finally this year, he remembered to ask me, how do I stop this?
There you go.
Will you log into your PayPal account and turn off recurring billing?
Right.
Oh, okay. So for 10 years, he's been paying $30 a month and has never used it.
Right. Oh, jeez.
No, and I get it. We all do stuff like that. But you got to pay a little more. In these parlous economic times, you need to pay a little more attention.
Yep.
Yeah, well, some of these antivirus companies will get you by going in and saying, okay, we're going to renew you, and you got to go check that box that says we're going to automatically renew you every year.
Right. Or you have to uncheck it because they turn it on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, usually, well, they trick you. They do both. Like I said, there's been times where they want to send you notifications, and typically block is on the right of that little pop-down,
yep.
And they've been switching it to the left side.
Yep, you have to read.
Just go to that one side, like, you know, automatically, and you're accepting it instead of,
yep,
you know, refusing it. So they play these little tricks to try and get you to accept or, you know, things.
Yep, absolutely so, right.
But, you know, you got to be careful. The other thing you got to be careful with this program, even though it's free, is it wants to use Yahoo as your preferred base for your browser.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a Yahoo fan, that's fine. But just look for it. And it has another little tidbit in there for an extra security thing that I didn't particularly want. But, you know, they're pretty plain insight. They pop up and they, you know, they say, deny this if you don't want it.
Right. And we are always telling people, read every screen, look at every checkbox.
Right.
The people who just go, yes, or next, that's a problem.
Not everybody is honest as this company is and tells you in bold letters, deny, you know, decline if you do not want this particular program.
Right.
Some of them don't do that as easy, and sometimes, like you said, it's automatically checked. You have to uncheck it. Sometimes you have to check it if you want it. So you have to pay attention. Otherwise, you're going to fill your browser up with all these add-ons that you may not even want or need or use.
Yeah, we've seen, was it Dave or was it you who had a guy who had so many toolbars, he had one line of a browser of it visible.
Yeah, the browser was maybe about an inch and a half, and the rest was all these toolbars. And I kept saying, what are all these toolbars? I didn't do anything. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. You did when you installed all this other stuff. You agreed to add that to the toolbar list. And if I removed one, I removed at least, I'd say, 18 to 20 toolbars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That is no lie. 18 to 20 toolbars easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be careful with these things, especially those toolbars. A lot of them, they do a lot of tracking, and they're spying on you for where you're going, and they do more harm than they do good.
Well, the thing of it is so many of them are redundant. You know, they add their one feature, and then next to that, they'll put the copy and the paste feature and all this other stuff that's in the original.
Right.
You know, it just sort of slides in there, and hopefully you don't notice it.
One of the big things I've been seeing lately are weather toolbars. Everyone likes to have a weather toolbar. The problem is a lot of them are crap and spyware. So they want to watch every website you go to. They report back to their masters, but they give you the weather. So read those terms, because almost all the browsers, when you install an extension, when you install a toolbar, it tells you what that browser or that tool is requesting. And there's no reason for a weather toolbar to be able to read every website you go to. All it needs is if anything, your location, so it can give you the weather. But type in your zip code, and then it doesn't even need that.
Let's also remember, take a look at all of the add-ons you've put in your browser, even if they're not a toolbar. One of the nice things about Chrome, and I don't know if Firefox does it as well, but if you right-click on an extension, one of the choices is this can read and change site data. And if you look at that, it says when you click the extension, only on the site that you're on when you look, when you're there, or on all sites. And every one of these I've looked at starts out with on all sites. And I always change them to when you click the extension.
But, right. Yeah, that's a great little feature. And it does that in that Komodo Dragon, the same thing when you put an add-on in.
Right.
Same way.
Good.
Yeah. The other thing people need to stop doing, too, is adding all these things that don't need to be in your startup. Everything wants to go in the startup, or it wants to go in your system tray and use up resources. And if you're running Windows with 4 or 6 gigs of memory, you don't need all this stuff running. It's just taking up more resources than it needs to.
Right. Right.
And I clean all that stuff out, and I find out if I actually need it in startup, and I find out that 90% of the things in there, they don't even need to be in there.
No, a lot of people, particularly when you only have 4 gigs of RAM, have things like there's a startup, there's a background startup for Office.
Yeah.
Well, if you use Office 15 or 20 hours a day, that saves you a little bit of time. If you use Office once in a while, why are you having it waiting in the background to start working?
Exactly.
It slows down your startup to have that, but it does mm-hmm. speed up launching a Word.
Right.
That one time a week you use it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, if you're in that much of a hurry for once a week, you need to manage your time a little better.
Well, that's just it. It used to take, you know, a couple of minutes for some of these programs to start up, and we were thrilled that they started so fast. Now, if we click the button and nothing happens, we start clicking like mad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just ridiculous.
Have some patience.
And then every time you click it, it starts over.
It starts over. So eventually, I know somebody who's done that. They have like 5 of something wrong.
Yeah, so it's the same, the multiple incidents.
Yep.
Then you got to take the time to now close all those others down yep. that you don't want to use.
Well, I see that with QuickBooks all the time with people, because it takes so long for QuickBooks to open that you start then getting QuickBooks is already running. QuickBooks is already running. QuickBooks is already running.
Right.
Because the first time it kind of finished. Yeah.
Right.
Now, the other problem with that is then you have all these instances running, you close them down, but you never really get that memory back.
Not quickly, no.
Yeah, not very quickly. Mm-mm. You're better off restarting.
Right.
You know, because you all those instances use up all your memory, and then you're wondering why you're crawling.
Right, exactly right.
You know, so there you go. But anyways, that was my little contribute to the show that I think this Komodo program is just wonderful.
Well, thanks. And I've actually moved that up on my to-do list, or as I've titled it, Nick's Ignored To-Do List.
Well, I have a folder called When I Get Around to It.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I've looked at it in years.
And Nick, thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Hope to see you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye. And don't forget, you can join us next week at the 30th anniversary party. We do want to know that you're coming, so please give us an RSVP. And you do that by emailing rsvp@jazz901.org. Just tell us how many you're planning to bring. And this is not a binding agreement.
No, it's not cast in stone.
Just let us know how many you're
trying
plan
to get
to come
a guesstimate.
Right. So that we just know how much refreshment and cake to order. But we will be doing that next Saturday from noon to 2, the 31st. It's the 31st of August from noon to 2 here in the studio. We'll be broadcasting live. People will be able to sit and actually watch us because we won't be in the studio. And we can take questions live on the air. It's a very cool idea. And we'd love to have you join us. And, of course, if you wear your 30th anniversary shirt, we'll sign it for you. And the 30th anniversary shirt is, of course, a limited edition 30th anniversary shirt. You can see what's available at wegottheshirts.com/Nick. wegottheshirts.com/Nick. And order your shirt very soon this week because it takes a few days to get to you. But if you order it today or tomorrow or Monday, you should have it by next weekend.
By next Saturday.
And wear it and we'll sign it. So that would be kind of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I hope bunches and bunches. I hope 1,000 people show up. It would be great. Be great. Let's bust the doors down in this place.
Yeah, that would really be cool. I mean, you know, for 30 years of doing this stuff and see everybody that comes out. I'd still like to see Francis.
Yeah, it would be great to have somebody, to have Francis show up. It would be great. But at any rate, the idea here is that we're having this party and we want you to be a part of it. So give us a call, give us an email. It says you're coming. Get your shirt if you want to wear it. You don't have to wear the shirt. You will let you in even if you're not wearing that particular shirt. Notice I didn't say if you're not wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
I said not wearing that particular shirt.
Yes.
But we will let you in anyway, and we won't think any less of you.
We're a family-friendly show.
That's right. In the meantime, while you're going to wegottheshirts.com/Nick, I will read to you another email. Bill Stasiar, a longtime head of Apple's Siri team, has left the company to join Microsoft's AI division. After nearly a decade at Apple, Stasiar will step into the shoes of a corporate vice president at Microsoft later this month. At his new job, the former Siri chief will lead an artificial intelligence group. There's a surprise. Last year, Apple poached Google's former head of research in AI, John Gianandrea. I don't know. This served as a further indication of Apple's woes with Siri, which beat the competition to the AI assistant race, but was relegated to a firm third place behind Google Assistant and Amazon Alexa. Stasiar's reasons for leaving Apple aren't clear at this point, but Gianandrea's hiring is a likely guess. Since his hiring last summer, Gianandrea became very involved with the development of Siri and was eventually promoted to a senior vice president, reporting directly to Apple CEO Tim Cook. Or, if you prefer, Tim Apple. Although Stasiar was in charge of Apple's Siri team since the assistant's initial launch, he won't be working on Cortana at Microsoft. I'm not sure anybody is. The company behind Windows is lagging far behind the competition where AI assistants are concerned, with Cortana being a distant fourth to Google's, Amazon's, and Apple's offerings in that order. However, Stasiar's talents are apparently won't be used to better Cortana, but rather in Microsoft's broader AI efforts. People familiar with the matter have said that the former Siri chief will head a special AI group at Microsoft. Who's your favorite AI and why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We have, it's odd. We have AI offs. At home, right? We have both the Amazon Echo and the Google Home, and of course we have an Amazon Echo in the kitchen, and I have Google on my phone. So does my wife, and so sometimes you know, she'll say, and you know, how old is such and so, or you know, whatever. Yeah. If somebody were watching on television, and that works. But sometimes we ask it a question that the Echo just cannot answer. Just doesn't quite get it. And,
oh, really?
And I ask exactly the same question of Google's assistant, and I always get the right answer.
Hmm.
It's usually prefaced with, here's an article I found on the web that may help. And yes, it is always right. It is well known that it's Chrome, then the Amazon Echo, than the Apple product. I shouldn't say either of their names because that'll set them off. So it's,
yep.
It's,
oh, that could
Google
be fun.
Yeah, I know. It's maybe I should tell them to RSVP.
there you go. Hey, Google, RSVP to the Soundbites 30th anniversary show.
And I just heard somebody's chirp.
Yeah, somebody chirp. Probably me. Probably him.
Yep.
My.
Well, they eventually become trained to your voice.
Yeah.
So when I was with teaching a customer yesterday, and I did the trigger word to tell her how to do it on her device.
Yeah.
Hers didn't answer, but mine did.
Yeah. but yeah, it's been known for a long time that Google's assistant is way ahead in the AI department. Yeah. Second is the Amazon Echo, and third is Apple, and fourth is Microsoft, A distant fourth is Microsoft, and a way distant fifth is Bixby. Does anybody use Bixby? I think not. In fact, if you
I think they've almost abandoned it now. The newest Samsung phones don't have the Bixby button anymore.
Right. And in fact, if you look it up, there's about a zillion articles on how to disable Bixby on your Samsung phone. The point is, AI is hard. And Google had a head start in a lot of ways and for a lot of reasons. Google had a head start. And so, they're way ahead of the competition. And that's why people poach from Google. But it's more than just one guy. It's an entire, they got the one person, but that's not the team. That's not the commitment in the background. That's not the, and that commitment not only says, yeah, go for it, but also, and here's the money for giant servers, to do the back end processing. There's a whole lot of, there's a whole lot to AI, and we're seeing a lot more stuff. And of course, Google has a couple of features out there that are kind of amazing in terms of that that whole AI stuff. They've got it starts with a D. I forget the name of it. Is it Duo? I think that that you can say order me make a reservation at this restaurant for Thursday or Friday, and that's all you have to say. It actually will look in your calendar, figure out when you're free, call the place, say I'd like to make an appointment for Friday at 10 p.m. No, we're booked at 10 p.m. How about 9 p.m. and the program will answer back, yeah, absolutely, that's fine, thank you very much, this is the name, this is the number of people in the party, and it puts it in your calendar. And that all happens automatically. And the people who've done it say that the people at the other end have no idea they're not talking to a human.
That was a little scary demo when they showed that.
Yeah, that's why they're way ahead in terms of Microsoft and Apple and Samsung when it comes to AI. I'm not saying they're number one in the world. IBM, I'm sure, is really the one who's there, but in terms of the rest of it, they're pretty far ahead. All right, listen, we're done. That's our first hour gone. We're going to, don't go away. We're going to come back and do it all over again. So you'll have plenty of time to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. Take this break to order your Soundbites t-shirt at wegottheshirts.com/Nick. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. Holy cow. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member supported, award winning Jazz 90.1.
30 years.
30 years.
30 years on the air. You're old.
Yeah.
Oh, I was at Jay Silverheels on Johnny Carson. interviewing Tonto, you know.
Yeah.
So what was your last job? Ooh, you know, me worked 30 years for Kimosabe, you know, faithful companion, hunt, cook, fish, clean for Kimosabe. 30 lousy years. And why'd you leave? Him find out what Kimosabe meant.
Yeah. I met him.
Yeah, you told that story.
As a kid.
And I hate you.
No, let me tell you. Nobody believed me. All my friends. What'd you do today? Went and met Tonto. You're right. Okay, all right.
He played soccer for the Rochester team.
Yeah.
He lived here for a while.
He lived here. He married a woman here. He opened a trading post here. My father met him and knew him. And so I think my father actually knew. His wife was Italian. So my father knew her parents. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool. He came to the door. He was in full regalia.
Oh.
So I wasn't meeting a guy who looked like the guy who played Tonto. I met Tonto.
The real McCoy.
Yeah, that was really great. Anyway, look, this is pretty much our last time to tell you this. I know you're all going, thank heaven. But we're coming up on our 30th anniversary. And this is the last show we get to tell you this. Next Saturday from noon to 2... we will be having the 30th anniversary party, and you are invited. It's free. It's open to everybody, but we would like you to RSVP.
Party.
Don't ever do
RSVP
that again.
Or I'll continue dancing.
Okay. Good move. All the people on YouTube right now are going.
And my three left feet.
This is my left foot. This is my other left foot.
Yeah.
At any rate, next Saturday from noon till 2, we will be having the 30th anniversary party. It's free. You're all welcome to come. But we would like you to RSVP so we know how much cake and other refreshments to order. And you do that by sending an email to RSVP@jazz901.org with just an estimate of the number of people who are coming. That's all we need you to do, and you're welcome to come. Now, if you want to, you've still got a few days to order your limited edition 30th anniversary shirt. When I say limited edition, I ain't kidding, because after the party, I'm taking it down. It's going to be gone. So you can get your limited edition 30th anniversary shirt. Just go to wegottheshirts.com/Nick. It's fulfilled by Amazon, so if you're an Amazon Prime, it's a free ship, blah, 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 fast shipping, blah, blah, blah. But it still takes about 4 or 5 days because these are print on demand, and they don't print every day.
They're just not laying around.
Right, and they don't have a bunch laying around. So if you're going to order your shirt, do it over the next couple of days. And if you wear it, we'll even, if you want us to, we'll sign it for you. Somebody better bring a pen.
All right.
Pen.
We do have somebody that texts in. It says, hi. In the Chrome browser, we have an icon in the upper right-hand corner that operates extensions like clean, cache, send to the drive, etc. Is there a way to set text under this to know which is which? Putting the mouse over does show what they are, but would love to have text under them.
Yeah, I get that. I do not know of a way to do that. There may well be an extension that does that, but and I can certainly Steve's looking that up even this week. But there is no way to do that directly in the setup.
Yeah,
that
like
I know
normal
of.
Icons and they say cut and paste and all. I get it. Yeah, sometimes that's very handy.
And sometimes you can put text under them,
mm-hmm. right?
To label them,
right? Yeah, but cool. I don't know of any way to do that directly. We're looking up now to see if there's any sort of way to add it under the
almost
under
too
the
generic
thing.
A term.
Yeah,
I want to label an extension.
Yeah, but beyond that, no. I'm sorry, I do not know of a way to do that. Sometimes the answer is no.
Well, it's just like I had this one program that I happened to use. You know, the way the text lines up in the windows.
Ugh.
I kind of like things centered,
mm-hmm.
you know, because just the way the fields and everything else, it makes it handy. And I go through all the instructions trying to find out Well, is there a button? You can just sit there. I mean, most programs, you know, even simple spreadsheets, you can sit there and say center justify. So I wrote the gentleman and I says, hey, can you do this? Because it's like a spreadsheet. He goes, oh, that's interesting. I'll have to see about doing something like that. Yep. I've never had a request to do that. I go, really? Because the fields, the way they are, and the way he's got them predefined, already set to certain widths, you know, it'd be nice just to have them down the center. Then I could narrow up. Yeah, no, you can point that
that way. You're sitting right in front of your mic, so people can just see the mic.
That's okay.
Yeah. Those of you who are only listening and not watching on the YouTube channel.
And you're getting motion sick because I'm moving the camera around.
Steve, oh, cheese and crackers. Steve is trying to place the camera for Dave in such a way
that's going to scare people more.
Yeah. Not only is it going to scare people, it's just going to fall down in about 30 seconds. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, I mean, just simple stuff. And, you know, like that person was saying, you know, just to have the text underneath it. Because the icons...
Yeah.
Just like Microsoft.
No, I get it.
You know, in the control panel, remember add remove programs? And then they had to change that to programs and features.
Right.
You know, rename the same thing. It does the same function, but they just had to relabel it just so that, you know, something different. And it's like, really?
So all of
no,
us,
I get that.
All of us with the history, when we try to remove a program, where the heck did add remove go?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I get it. It would be great to be able to look at it instead of having, because not everybody is visually oriented. The big fallacy of phones and the new way everybody does their operating systems is that everybody's visually oriented. Some people are not.
Mm-mm. Exactly. Yeah.
And so I get it. You know, for a lot of programs that allow you to choose text or icons or text and icons, I just use text. I read faster than I recognize shapes, and that's just me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was born a reader. That's why I never properly learned Chinese. I can't read it at all because the shapes don't stay in my brain.
Yeah,
like I said, I don't any longer. I don't speak any of it, and I certainly I certainly don't read it. Let's just go there.
Yeah,
but. You know, I can remember some things because they look like the thing, forest and a couple other things.
Yeah, it's
but
top down and
right
to left.
Right, but
there's a story about a young kid picking up, you know, dad cleaning out the computer room or something and picks up a floppy disk. And, dad, you 3D printed the save icon?
Yeah, right, exactly. Nobody knows what that means anymore.
But that's still the icon.
That's still the icon. Because what else are you going to use? That's one of the other problems with visually oriented operating systems. You eventually run out of the good icons,
mm-hmm.
and now you're making icons that look like I don't know what, just in order to have a unique icon. All right, I'm going to read a news item, and you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. If you're anything like us, and I hope you're not.
Really? That'd be scary.
You become completely spoiled by digital assistants, speaking of. Whether you choose to use I wrote this early this morning.
Yeah, it was 2:30 this morning when that email came in that I noticed when I woke up at 9.
Yeah. I was up by 8 myself, so I don't sleep much. If you use, whether you choose to use the Amazon, Google, or Apple assistants, it makes no difference. This trio of voice-activated assistants can change how we live our daily lives. We are constantly using them every day to accomplish tasks such as turning on the light, checking the weather, setting timers or alarms, even make calls. However, you might want to rethink that last one. That's because the Better Business Bureau has recently warned that your call may be forwarded to a scam artist instead of an actual company. It all begins when you ask your digital assistant to call a company for you. It then goes out to search the web and find the number of the company you requested. The problem is scammers have been creating fake customer service numbers and finding a way to move those numbers to the top of the search engines, often by simply paying for some ads. Once the scammer has you on the phone, you're at their mercy. Some signs to look for include asking you to pay by wire transfer or prepaid debit cards. They could gift cards. They could even try to convince you to give remote access to your computer, send you an unfamiliar website, and attempt to infect you with malware. In cases reported to the Better Business Bureau, one victim was trying to change her seat for an upcoming flight instead. The scammer tried to convince her to pay $400 with prepaid gift cards, claiming the airline was running a special promotion. In another case, a scammer tried to direct a consumer to a phony website to infect his computer when he used his Apple assistant to call the support number for his printer. Some helpful tips to avoid becoming a victim of this scammer: to avoid using your digital assistant when making important phone calls to companies, or add those companies when you have a verified phone number, add those companies to your contact list. Then when you say call Apple or call Google support, you get the actual number that's in your contact list, which you know you have already verified is the real number. Also, look up by looking up the number of the company you want to contact from their official website. This helps you avoid fake ads that could show up in search results. And finally, make payments with your credit card, as it's easier to dispute charges. Never pay with a wire transfer or prepaid gift cards. We've been saying these things for years, but with the ability of smart assistants to so easily make the calls for you, it's important to remember that they're just programs, and in the long run, not particularly smart. So give us a call, but do it directly. Just dial 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, so many people we run into will do an internet search for somebody's tech support number, and you'll always get the wrong one.
Always.
You know, you're looking for Apple's phone number, go to apple.com. You're looking for Microsoft's phone number, go to microsoft.com.
Right.
Almost every company is companyname.com.
Right.
Then it can sometimes be tricky, but there's usually a contact or an about. But yeah, you just do a search for Apple support. You're not going to find Apple.
You're really not. You're going to find a bunch of scammers on the first two pages of any search engine, because that's just the way that works. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Tim from Belleville, Ontario, Canada. Hiya, Tim. How's it up there? Hello?
He must be on Telos. That's having problems.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh.
All right. Sorry, Tim. Call back, please. Yeah, you better put him away. Sorry, Tim. Give us a call back. We'll be delighted to talk to you. We love our Canadian brethren and sistren, our Canadian siblings, and we'll eagerly await your call. In the meantime, we'll talk a little bit more about these scam things. We keep saying this, but it's still true, and we keep having to say it. No reputable company will call you about tech support.
They can't anymore.
They can't. They're not allowed to.
Well, they know they can't because there's so many fake ones, you wouldn't believe them anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, they're not allowed to from their company. They don't do that.
Think of the manpower that Microsoft or Apple would have to, the workforce
power. Yeah.
That they would have to hire to call literally a billion customers. Microsoft has a billion people running Windows. Apple has a billion people with iPhones.
Yep.
Think about your company.
Not only that, but the number of languages they'd have to know.
Yeah. Yeah, think about your company and the product you make. Do you randomly call your customers and ask them how they're doing?
You may have salespeople who do that, but they're calling the sales managers at those other companies,
trying to get them to buy more stuff.
All right, yeah, exactly. All right, we have reconnected with Tim from Belleville, Ontario, Canada. Tim, thanks for calling back. What's up?
Well, two things, really. Number one, a few months ago, you mentioned about hijacking the routers. Well, the person doing it, or someone's doing it again. This morning, I turned my laptop on and it wouldn't connect. But what I called to ask you about is I've got a printer and I'm running Linux. I can't seem to get it working.
Which printer?
What printer do you have?
Oh, I can't see the name of it from here, but probably it's not a very old one.
Okay, is it a Brother printer, an Epson printer?
Brother.
Brother.
Oh, Brother. Okay, okay. Is it connected via Wi-Fi or direct through cable?
I was trying to connect through Wi-Fi, but I was wondering, can it be done that way, or do I have to just do it through cable?
It depends on the printer, but many of them allow you to do either or both.
Yeah, especially the newer ones nowadays are mostly wireless.
Yeah. Is this the first time you've set up the printer, or is it already set up?
I have it running on Windows through mine, but when I'm running with the Linux, I tried to connect up to Wi-Fi. I've got it so it reads the router, but I can't get the operating system to work with it.
Yeah. So a lot of times, the very first time you set up a brand new printer, it often has to be with a USB cable, and then you tell it to go Wi-Fi, because you have to tell it to join your network and type in your password, which is... But if he's past that, yeah. Often the easiest thing to do is... The problem is you got to find the right driver for it, and the easiest thing to do is Google the specific printer model number and the flavor of Unix you're running, and you'll quite frequently find the specific driver that needs to be installed for that printer.
Right. Do you know which version of Linux you're running? What?
Ubuntu. It's the long-term version, last one. It's still running well.
Okay. So what you need to do is generally speaking, the easiest way to do it is to go into the Add Printer menu and have it search for the printer. And it should find it. And if it does, the rest of it is automatic, just like you would do with a Windows printer. It'll say, oh, just, okay, I found it. You can add it. Here it is. Let's go. If it's still connecting to the Windows machine, then you know that it's still on the Wi-Fi. So if your Windows machine can still see it, then the question is, are you connecting with the Linux machine? If your Windows machine can't see it either, then you've got an entirely separate problem.
I got rid of Windows about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So if you're on the printer itself, there should be a Wi-Fi menu, and it will tell you whether or not it's connected. It will also give you the IP address in case you need that.
Not all printers have a screen with that information on it.
Well, that's true, but you should be able to print out the test page, which will also tell you that information. And basically, what you do is you need to have that IP address. In your printer's configuration, you need to enable the LPR protocol, LPR, line printer, basically, protocol, and then add your printer in Linux as an LPR printer. You'll need your printer's IP address and the name of your network, and it should connect. You can print a test page. You're done. And the theory is every time you restart your printer, particularly if you just leave it on all the time, it'll always have the same IP address. The system won't get confused.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
And
it's nice that many companies are now acknowledging Linux and including Linux drivers.
Right.
It used to be that the first Linux person to buy that model printer would write the driver for it.
Yes. Been there. Done that. Yep. I get it. But yes, I had... when I bought this, the Brother printer that I have now, I just turned it on. I said to Linux, add the printer. It went out and found it. It said, oh, here's the driver you need. You know, it gives you some choices, one of which is recommended. I clicked on recommended driver, and bang, 10 seconds later, I was printing a test page, to prove that the thing was connected. And I've never had a lick of trouble since. My wife connects directly. She used to connect directly from her Mac. Now she connects directly from her Windows box. I can print from my phone. I can print from my tablets. I can print it for my Chromebook.
Yep.
It all works completely perfectly. You're right. It used to be connecting to a printer was an utter pain in every single part of your body you can think of.
Remember IPX?
Yeah, I do. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Novell NetWare, really? No! But and part of the problem is that, that all the printer companies make so many different models of printers with right. so many different capabilities, and each one needs a specific driver. You know, so the 2170 might use a different driver than the 3280. Oh, and part of me is, why?
Right.
Or why can't you make a generic driver that does everything? Well, then it would be huge.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and Linux in particular has finally gotten better at recognizing individual printers and getting the right yep. driver for it. Mine, I can do duplexing, and I can do, you know, all the yep. I can do scanning, I can do everything.
Actually, mobile devices has really helped in the printer field.
Yes.
Apple has their AirPrint, and Google has CloudPrint. So now, if a printer wants to be available for, you know, Android and Apple devices, they need to make it compatible with those technologies.
Right.
Well, that means that any printer or any computer can hook up to almost any printer using the AirPrint driver or the CloudPrint driver,
right.
which means that Linux can do the same thing. It doesn't need...
Right.
You may not get some of the super specific features. I've seen, especially with the all-in-ones, the fax portion doesn't work over AirPrint.
Right.
Not many people fax anymore.
Right. See, yeah, and if you do, you can do that right from the web if you want to, so that's easy enough. But
Or you have to walk up to the printer anyway to dial the phone, so
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I can actually print. Come on, open up. Thank you. I'm on Google Cloud Print to my yep. printer right now. I could from my Chromebook print to my printer at home.
Yeah, that's one thing I miss with AirPrint. On the computer, you can fire stuff into the queue, and it just waits until you get home and, sure. and join your network. But on the devices, it has to be physically on the same network right now. You can't have a queue.
That's too bad.
And it doesn't work through the internet like CloudPrint does.
Yeah, CloudPrint lets me print. I could print from home, at home from my Chromebook or from my phone or, you know, from any device that's CloudPrint ready, which is pretty much every device. You could probably print to my printer if I gave yep. you the proper information.
There was an HP commercial that we'll talk about maybe when we get back, where a baby is shooting through traffic and comes out the printer at home. And people didn't realize that was a real...
Oh, it's calling me.
Yeah. People didn't realize that was a commercial.
Yeah, right.
We didn't put the baby in traffic for real.
Yeah, right. People just don't get that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi there, I'm Nick Francesco, the host of Sound Bites on Jazz 90.1. We're celebrating 30 years on the air in Rochester, and we'd love to see you for a live broadcast and party on Saturday, August 31st. Join us from noon till 2 and see the show broadcast live, enjoy refreshments and a celebration, and get your computer questions answered live. The event is free, but you must RSVP. Send an email to rsvp@jazz901.org and let us know you're coming. We can't wait to see you on August 31st.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Gerd from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Gerd. What's up?
Hey,
I have a recording on my answering machine on the phone, but I don't know how to convey that to you.
Well, just tell us about it.
Is it on your phone?
On your smartphone or on an answering machine?
Answering machine.
Well, does your answering machine have a tape or is it all built in?
All built in.
There's no way to transfer that to something. I suppose you could record it onto your phone by playing it on your answering machine, and then you'd have a recording on your phone. But that's pretty much the only way you can do that. I don't know of many answering machines that are designed to forward those messages.
Okay, it's a female that says she's a cop, and she says that they've been finding my Social Security number on the southern border, and if I press 1, then I can talk to another cop, which is all a bunch of crap.
Yeah. What would the police have anything to do with Social Security numbers for?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well,
and how do the, we won't even go there.
Yeah, it's junk.
It's a scam.
It's a scam.
Well, I understand that. I just thought maybe I could play the message to you guys, but I don't know how to do that.
We've all heard it.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you. Thank you, Gert. I appreciate that, but unfortunately, there is no way. Most answering machines are not designed to do anything with the message but record it and then play it back. They're not really computers. They're just one-purpose devices, and unfortunately, they don't have a way to forward that to anybody.
Well, I tried.
We appreciate that very much.
Gotcha.
Yep. Thanks, Gerd. Yeah, there's just another one of the scams that's out there.
There's one going around. At a police station, they started recording a fake call. The IRS called and said that if they don't send them iTunes gift cards to pay an outstanding tax bill, the police were going to come and arrest him.
Wow.
And they're going to come here to my police station and arrest me?
Well, it'll be a short trip because we're already here.
I'd rather write a check. I don't want to use gift cards. What's with that? Oh, it's just something new, sir. You don't have to worry about that. Just go buy some gift cards.
Yeah.
People nowadays. I mean,
they're getting bolder and bolder with these scams.
Oh, there was a guy that was trying to scam people, pulling them over and trying to write tickets and then offering money. Yeah. Well, he pulled over this one van. Evidently, it's kind of rusted out. One problem.
Oh, tell me it was undercover cops.
It was a bunch of police. They were all going over to the headquarters to work out at the gym before they had to go on duty.
Nice.
Yep.
So they go, oh, really? And evidently, they wound up having to chase him.
Nice.
He finally caught up with him and arrested him for impersonating a police officer and trying to scam people out of money. Well, how much you got on you? And, trying to take bribes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's scam artists all over, folks.
Nice. But
it would be interesting to see if police started carrying like a square or payment thing. And, well, you can pay your ticket right now if you want.
It is not an impossible thing to do. The problem, of course, would be corruption. Most cops are very, very honest. But there's, bad apples in every barrel. So.
I almost kind of think that happens in Europe because I watch, British car shows and they're always getting speeding tickets driving through other countries. And apparently they just pay the police officer. So say you're from Britain and you get a speeding ticket in Germany. Mm-hmm. You're going to go back to Germany in 2 months to fight your ticket or pay your ticket? Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
because the countries are so close together. It's almost as bad as the states here. When we went to Florida earlier this year, a lot of the Florida toll booths are electronic only. They have no operators. And so, like, 6 months later, we're getting the bill in the mail for the 35-cent toll we went through. They snap your license plate picture. Yeah. Okay, so what if I don't pay it? They're going to – then what? I can't go back to Florida.
Yeah, there's a hardship.
Yeah,
good.
I'm sorry, Shirley. We can't go back to Florida anymore.
That'll fly.
Yeah,
for 35 cents.
Yeah, as soon as pigs do.
I have an Easy Pass. Yep. Which when my daughter was in college in Rockford, Illinois, it works in every state went through.
Yeah, they're really expanding Easy Pass. In the South, it's SunPass, and they're apparently trying to link the systems together.
Right. And so when we went there, I just get on the thruway and never stop.
Yep.
12 hours door to door, and I don't have to stop if I don't want to. Mm-hmm. We always stop for bio breaks, but you know, you don't have to stop and pay a toll. You don't have to have change. You know, it's you know, when you come up to the lanes, there's the Easy Pass lanes, and we're just
we're right on through. I love it.
Yep. And there are places where you don't even need a lane, a special lane. The whole right across the highway are the special sensors.
Yeah, a lot of the New York State ones around here are every lane is Easy Pass.
Yep. Yep. So it's very cool, and we don't go there anymore. But we still, you know, we have family in Buffalo and et cetera, et cetera. So we use it less often than we did, but it's right there and it's very fast. And I like the idea. It's very convenient.
Yeah, for the convenience, I don't know why everybody doesn't just sign up for it. I mean. It's not there's a monthly charge. You just
do is they put 25. They put $25 from your account into the thing, and when you get below whatever the number is,
the amount, and then they replenish it.
So they have your money and they're earning interest on it.
Yeah, I get that, but it's only $25 bucks.
Yeah,
we looked into getting a SunPass, but we weren't going to be in Florida long enough to justify the cost of tying the money up that long.
Right. All right, so we've yelled at Microsoft and we've yelled at Apple. Let's yell at Google now. Android users have downloaded fake apps which slow down their devices and drain their batteries millions of times. Researchers at Trend Micro found 85 different photography and gaming apps that were filled with adware on the Google Play Store. These fraudulent apps have been downloaded more than 8 million times to users' smartphones and tablets. Trend Micro has published a full list of the fake apps, but some of the most popular ones were Super Selfie, Kaz Camera, Pop Camera, and Line Puzzle. Ecular Zoo, which I've probably pronounced very badly, and I apologize, mobile threat researcher at Trend Micro, explained how the apps avoided being detected by users, saying, "We found another example of AdWare's potential real-life impact on Google Play. It isn't your run-of-the-mill adware family. Apart from displaying advertisements that are difficult to close, it employs unique techniques to evade detection through user behavior and time-based triggers. One of the techniques the adware apps discovered by Trend Micro used to avoid detection was to create a shortcut for the app on a device's home screen 30 minutes after the app was installed. This helps the apps to become more visible while also deterring Android users from uninstalling them. When launched, the app functioned in much the same way as the photography or gaming apps they were trying to impersonate. However, they also displayed long, full-page, full-screen advertisements that are impossible to close. Google has since removed the fake apps from the Play Store after Trend Micro informed the company of its findings. Although the apps are no longer available in the Play Store, users who have already downloaded one of the fake apps will have to manually delete the app to fully remove it from their devices. So have you got one of these malicious apps? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I just momentarily completely forgot what that was. And Steve is putting a list of those apps. Trend Micro has a...
I'm going to do their blog entry and not the straight PDF.
All right. Well, you can link to it from there. So that's fine, too. And then in the meantime, we will go to the phones and we will talk to Larry from Greece, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Hello, Nick. Just want to tell you, on the Easy Pass, you can get them for free.
Yeah, the Easy Passes themselves are free. You do have to give them your credit card numbers because, like I said, they automatically fill it up to $25.
No, they don't. If you also give them your bank account number, they will just bill you by the day.
Oh, that is nice. That's not how I did it, but that's very nice. That's a good point. Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
I don't use it enough, so I didn't want to give him $25, and I saw that you could do that. So,
nice.
Another option.
Nice deal. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yep. And I just read on their website that if you get a new license plate, you need to tell them so they know what your new license plate is.
Right.
Actually, and that's the thing, a meme going around now. a lot of the yellow license plates have peeling paint,
right.
and the plates are coming off, and that's actually illegal. And if the police can't read your license plate, that can be a ticket. You can take your plates to the DMV and get a free replacement if they're peeling off. However, apparently there's a plan going through to switch license plates again.
Yes, there are. There's five choices you can make. People are voting.
Voting on what the new plate is. But we just got these new yellow plates.
And well, if you've got the yellow plate, it's good for 10 years.
Yeah.
If you've got the old blue plate, it's good for, I think, 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And then you have to get the
I've got a custom blue plate, so,
so do I
have to pay three times extra.
Yeah.
You're paying custom. For the new plate, you're paying for the upgrade, and you're paying for the custom vanity number.
The one problem I have, though, is one...
You have way more than one problem. Yeah, I just need you to understand
We know that.
Amongst our many problems.
Exactly. Is, all right, they're giving out tickets for something we have no control over.
Well, exactly.
These things are peeling.
Right. All right,
but you're supposed to notice it and fix it.
Right. All right, fine. Have the DMV mail me the new plates.
Right.
And then in that thing should be a return mailer to be able to take the plates, put those your old plates into the envelope, and mail them back. Why should you have to take time off for something that the state probably farmed out cheaply? To have a
to
you
stop
know,
it's to stop people from having too many license plates and putting them on too many cars.
Dave, it's a simple explanation. If you have to go down to DMV, that's on you. If they have to mail you the plates, that costs them money.
Yep.
They're not going to do something that costs them money.
But it could cost us money.
They don't care about that.
And it doesn't take very long. And what's really nice is the pop-up mobile DMVs. Fridays in Parenton,
right.
At the town hall, a DMV pops up. Although I've noticed that it opens at 10, and so people line up like starting at 9.
Yeah.
If you go at like 11, it's empty.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Everyone who was lining up first went in. So if you line up at 9, you won't get into 11.
Well, I got to admit, the DMV has, through thankfully the computers in it, really up their game that you can go in there and they'll tell you how long it's going to take, and it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Versus the old days.
Sit and wait for your number to be called.
Yeah, I went a couple of weeks ago and got my new license.
Yeah, the hologram. New hologram.
The only thing I don't like about it is the picture on the screen when she took it was great, and this picture is horribly overexposed. I look like a pair of glasses and some teeth. And that's actually okay by me.
That's pretty much what you look like.
That's what I look like.
and a beard.
There's a transparent window.
And a sex machine.
There's a transparent window with your picture in the middle of the transparent window. It's very cool. I got the one
hologram.
I got the one that that doubles as not a full passport.
The real ID. Yeah, so that's the other big thing with the license. The regular license plate. Your regular New York State ID will not let you fly starting October 2020. You need to have a real ID or an enhanced driver license by then, or an actual passport. So you know, we've been used to years. For years, just driving to Canada without your regular license, that's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, but I can go to Canada with the one I've got.
Yeah, the real ID,
and I can fly with the one I've got, which is an extra fee.
Yep.
But I also have a passport. I just don't want to carry my passport everywhere.
Yep. I had my passport stolen once, ages and ages ago. And I guess I had watched too many spy movies where that's a really, really bad thing.
Yeah.
So I called, where did I start? I think I called the police. I might have talked to the Secret Service. And yeah, just go to the county clerk and get another one.
Yeah, well, they don't care.
Don't you care that my passport was stolen?
Right. No, they don't. No. It's not that big a deal. I had my passport stolen once, and the guy returned it and said, I don't want to be you. Take it back. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Oh, good afternoon. I would actually vote with and buy one of these license plates. Somebody's done a meme of the new plate designs, but the picture is a hand reaching money out of your wallet.
Yeah. I've seen that one. Yeah, the new plates are I suppose kind of okay. They only apparently take 7 letters, and my vanity plate is 8. I don't know how that's going to work, but
It's just a cash grab by the state, that's all.
Well, I get that they want to change the license plate because there's been a bunch of fake ones made and et cetera, et cetera. So it's like they should have done with our money quite a while ago.
How long ago was the most recent change? 10 years when the blue and gold plates came out?
Yeah.
Isn't so that it's kind of short.
Well, the yellow ones are newer than that because I still have the blue and gold one after I got the yellow one. And I'm seeing here, Dave, I want to make sure I'm reading this right. If you have a peeling plate, you can do it all by phone. Cool. You call them and submit pictures of your damaged and peeling plates.
No, that's good because, like I say, you know, it's not their fault. And why should we have to pay for the government's, you know, farming it out for, you know.
You may because you have a vanity plate. Because right. you get a new registration card because it's new plates.
Mm. They're farming out the source. They're farming out the source of materials, but they're made in Auburn State Prison. But I read in an article in the paper in the news this morning that they've dropped the old vendor, which is 3M, and now they're going with Avery Dash Dennison or something like that, as getting the paint and materials to make them.
Right, and that was the problem. When you farm something out to the lowest bidder, sometimes you get crap. That's just the way it works. And they're finding out that penny wise, pound foolish.
Well, what I did, I had the old Liberty plate, blue white Statue of Liberty, and I had them for 20 years easy. The last plate change they did in about 10 years ago, you had the option of keeping your old ones or getting the new and blue and gold. This time, unless your plates are less than 10 years old or something like that, they're going to force you to buy new ones. But they also, about 2 months ago, local DMV, at least Monroe County, they made a policy if you brought in your scratched off plates, they'd give you a new set, no charge.
Right.
So I did that about 2 months ago. So I'm safe anyway.
You're good. You're good for a while. At least a couple of years. Yeah. Yep.
Well, by that time, I'll probably be dead.
Well, I hope not. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
All right. Good luck.
Yep. Thanks. Bye-bye. The new plates are pretty cool. Apparently, somebody was a Stan Lee fan. No.
Excelsior.
Yeah. It's the motto of New York State. Also of Stan Lee.
Well, and there's some controversy because one of them is the Cuomo Bridge, named after Mario Cuomo.
Right. I kind of like the torch. Yeah,
I kind of like the last one where it's got the.
The
Niagara Falls and then New York City. I mean, that's a neat one of the seven wonders of the world.
Yep,
and then New York City, the Big Apple.
Yep, that is nice too. I like that one too. We'll see what it ends up being, but you get to vote.
If I remember right, if you omit the symbol, you can use an eighth character in place of that.
That would be nice because that's what I do.
Because my license plate is two words, so I use the symbol as the
breakup. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Listen, we only got a couple of minutes, so I just want to remind you one last time. That next Saturday, we are having our 30th anniversary party. And it's really your party. You're the people who kept us on the air for 30 years. And it'll be during the show itself. We'll do the show live. People can sit around and watch and get on the air and do all that stuff. From noon to 2, next Saturday, the 31st of August, we will have light refreshments and cake. But so we know how much of that stuff to order, we would really like you to RSVP. And it's easy to do. Just send an email to rsvp@jazz901.org with the number of people you expect to come. It's not a cast in stone promise. It's just a kind of a
guesstimate.
And if you want, you still have time to get your 30th anniversary limited edition Soundbites shirt from wegottheshirts.com/Nick. Just order your limited edition 30th anniversary shirt. And when I say limited edition, this is the last week you're ever going to be able to get it ever. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with the 30th anniversary show of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member supported. Award-winning Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another.